near the front. And over chapter number 9 in Genesis, and begin reading with verse number 8. And read down through verse number 17. Would you please stand with me for the reading of the word and remain standing for just a moment of prayer, please? Verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 9. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the every beast of the earth, with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant. The promise is what he's talking about, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. Now, this is the rainbow that he's talking about. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall be no more, shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for always looking after us and taking care of us, for always blessing us, Lord, with the things that we need. And sometimes, Lord, you bestow more than that upon us. You bless us with some of the things that we just enjoy. And we thank you, Lord, for looking out for us. And, Lord, we are reminded of your awesome power and your ability to take care of this earth that you created 6,000 years ago. And, Lord, just a sign of the rainbow that we see when the storm comes and the rain passes by and we see the bow, and such a beautiful scene, Lord. And we're reminded of a promise that you made to us. And thank you, Lord, for your promises, because you have never come up short in any. And I don't think you're about to start now. And thank you for that blessed hope that we have in our heart. Pray that you'd help your servant as we preach the Lord's message today. Fill me with the Spirit and help me to speak your message for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit on the thought of unusual messages in the Bible. Messages is that's sent out. We see here is a message that comes in the rainbow. Back up in your Bible over there to chapter number 8 and verses 20 through 22, and let's look at those verses a minute. At this scripture here that I read, it's right at the time that Noah and his family came out of the ark. And verse 20 says, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You've often heard that infamous or famous verse that you can't find in the Bible, along with some others that I've hunted for a long time and can't find, that the time will come that you can't tell winter from summer except the leaves on the trees or something to that nature. And I forget, just make up whatever you want to. One's just as true as the other one. It's not in the book. But this verse here gives us an answer to that. The Lord says, and by the way, the Lord knows what's going on. He says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. We can count on that. Now, if you're looking for that sign for the Lord to come back, he's going to catch you not looking in the right direction. You don't look for that. I wanted to remind you of that while it's here. I can't ever remember where it is when I tell people about it. But I want you to get the fact that Noah and his family had just come out of the ark. And you remember they took the animals in. They took the unclean animals by twos. They took the clean animals by sevens. They went in. But the clean animals was a purpose in them. It wasn't that God was going to come up short, but there was a purpose for that. They took the clean animals, and Noah offered a sacrifice to the Lord with these clean animals. And God smelled the aroma, the savor that he talks about there. It's the aroma, the good smell. I remember when I was a boy, we used to go back up on the ridge to get the cows of the morning before we went to school. You talk about child abuse. You know, I had to get up in the morning, get out and get the cows, you know, and get lickety-split up them, dew-soaked grass, you know, and find those cows and bring them in and get them milked and get to the house and eat breakfast and get ready to catch that school bus to go to a place that I hated. Abuse, you talk about that, I'll tell you. But I can remember going up on top of the ridge. And when you got up on top of the ridge, you could smell from a lot of different directions. And folks would be frying hound meat. You say, preacher, are you sure? I'm telling the truth, folks. Back then, I didn't even know the word pollution was around. I didn't know what it meant. You know, we didn't know. You'd get out and work in the field and find a creek of water, just lay down and drink out of it, you know. If it looked too dirty, you know, scratch it out a little bit, let that run on down, and catch the next that comes down. I don't know what it's coming off of, but you felt safe. But you could smell that. I mean, you talk about a good smell. It's hound meat grease, the aroma coming through the air, you know. And you knew what was going to find that was they're going to get them eggs right out of the chicken house and break them and make some gravy and biscuits for breakfast, and it's a long time before we get to eat. But it was an aroma, and that came up before God, and that pleased the Lord. That pleased the Lord. He smelled that aroma of those animals, the flesh burning. It come up in the presence of God, and God says, Noah, I'm gonna make a promise to you. I'm gonna make a promise to you. And he told Noah, he says, this is never gonna happen anymore. The covenant that he's talking about is a promise that he made with Noah. When I was a little boy, I knew enough about the Bible to scare the daylights out of me. And I thought there's going to be another flood, you know. And every time it'd come a hard rain and, you know, the creeks would get up, I'd say, oh, Lord, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. But it's not going to happen again. Now, there may be a flood and there may be another Katrina. So if you're going to build your house, don't build it down below the sea level. Put it up on stilts. You know, do something. Build you a house where it's safer. And I'm not criticizing those folks. But there's not going to be another flood. God's not going to use that anymore. He's not going to use it at all. And he told Noah, this is going to be a sign that I'm going to give you. And I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. And I'm going to let you see it. The storm is over now. Noah had been inside that ark for about a year. They'd come out. The rain had stopped. The waters had gone back down to where they could get on top of Mount Ararat, and there was places that was showing, and it was going to go down enough for Noah to plant crops and whatever. He planted a vineyard and all of these things, and God was taking care of him. And he said, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky as a token, as a message. Did you know the rainbow, every time you see one, the other morning, I was and didn't have any idea what I was going to preach about, but I was going out the coming out there next to Food City, that street coming out from the house. I can't remember, just lived there 34 years. But anyhow, I was coming out through there, and the sun was kind of, it was sort of cloudy, but it was breaking through, and I could see just a real short rainbow back there, you know, just a real short, looked like it's 6 feet long. I don't know how far it was away or how big it was, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and that's a beautiful sight when you know what it means. It's a beautiful sight. A few years ago, I was going up the interstate one afternoon, and up there at Abingdon, the exit where you used to get off Lee to go home out there, and right along in that section of the interstate, I could see a rainbow, a beautiful rainbow, that just out in front of me. And I got out there close enough as I'm driving up the interstate, and I could see where it come down in the field, the end of it. That's the first time I ever saw the end of a rainbow. And it was over in the field. And I could say the way that it was moving in that direction, over that way. And I could see as it went on up the road, it was going up the road, but it was getting over that way more all the time. And it got up in the interstate, and it was in the median up through there, and it got in the back of a pickup truck, shining down in the bed, down in that, and the most brightest light, I got up close to it. Man, I got up there. I didn't see any radar around, so I got up there close enough where I could see that. And the most brightest light and most beautiful scene. And I watched as it went out of that truck bed and on across the interstate and down in the fields and over the other side. A beautiful sight. You see, I learned a long time ago that the rainbow wasn't my enemy. The rainbow was a message from God. A message from God. And if I ever go back to a second childhood, I won't have to worry about it coming a flood and destroying the earth anymore. Now, there'll be some floods, no doubt, but not like there was in the day of Noah. It's not going to come. Don't look for that. So that's a message that was left. That was a covenant that God made with Noah, and he's kept that covenant. There are some other messages. Let me mention them here right quickly. In Numbers, chapter number 22, it talks about Israel when they were on their way to the land of Canaan. And there was a man by the name of Balak who was a king of the Moabites. And the Moabites was descendant of Lot and his oldest daughter. Lot, you remember, fathered children by both of his daughters. And this was the oldest one. His name was Moab. And that's where the Moabites come from. And Balak decided that, or Balak, whichever way is correct to pronounce that, that he wanted to get the prophet Balaam. And Balaam was a prophet of the Lord, all right. And Balak knew that whatever he said, it happened that way. So Balak says, I've got a lot of money, and I'm going to hire Balaam to curse the Israelites. I don't want them to go in the land of Canaan. They'll wipe me out. But it didn't work. It didn't work. He sent people to talk to Balaam, and Balaam said, well, he says, I'm a prophet, all right, but I can't say anything but what the Lord tells me to say. And the man sent back again. He told him, he says, I'll make you a rich man. He said, if you'd give me a house full of gold and silver, I can't go beyond what God says to do. And the Lord told him, says, you don't curse Israel. You don't do that. But Balak, now sometimes, and finally the Lord told him, said, now you go ahead and go with them, but don't you say anything except what I tell you to say. I want you to make sure. Man can't be trusted very much, and God knows that. God knows that. You read that story sometime there in the book of Numbers chapter 22, and it's an interesting story. So Balak decided that he was going to go, Balaam ready to go see Balak, and on his way down, he's riding his donkey. And going down through the field, and this donkey rubbed against a wall, a rock wall perhaps, and it mashed his foot, and he got angry. He got angry at that mule, you know, and probably hit it with a stick that he had in his hand. And then it got out in another place. It went on in another place. And it come to a place where they were so close that there was no way to go. No way to go. The mule saw an angel standing out in front of him with a sword that was drawn. And he rubbed over against the wall to try to baptize the angel. And this time the angel was standing there and there was nowhere to go. So the mule just laid down. We call them dumb brutes. The mule just laid down. And Balaam got really upset. And he started beating that mule with a stick. And the mule started talking back to him. Now, folks, that'll get your attention. Amen? That'll get your attention. The mule started talking back to him and said, "Why are you beating me? Why are you hitting me with that stick?" And Balaam said, "I wish I had a sword. I'd kill you." And the mule said, "Have I ever let you down? Ever since you've owned me, haven't I carried you wherever you wanted to go?" And of course, old Balaam, he had to recognize that it's been the truth. He'd never done like this before. A mule has a tendency to be stubborn. When they say you're as stubborn as a mule, that means you're stubborn. But they'll get over it sometime and they'll do all right. And the angel of the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam till he saw the angel standing there with the sword. And the angel started talking to Balaam, says, "Mr. Balaam, if you'd have come on to where I was, my instructions was to kill you. You would have died." Now, that's an unusual message. That message was just for one man. Don't think that old, we had a mule named Jack. I used to work on a team of them, Jack and Liz. Jack and Liz never did talk. They never did talk, and they never did lay down with me, you know. Sometimes they didn't want to pull too good, but anyhow, they never did talk to me. The greatest message that Peter ever heard in his life is recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 60 and 62, long down through there. Three times Peter denied that he knew the Lord, knew anything about him. He told the Lord, said, "Lord, I'll die by your side. I'll stand by you. You don't worry about being left alone." And the Lord says, "Peter, before the rooster crows three times in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Or before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me." And Peter was standing outside, and a person come by and said, "Hey, you're one of the Lord's disciples." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." A short time later, another one said, "Hey, you belong to this group too." "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And a short time later, the third one said, "Hey, I know that you're one of them too. Your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean." And the Bible said that he cursed and swore, "I don't know what you're talking about." And it was early in the morning and the rooster crowed. Didn't mean anything to anybody else except time to get up. But boy, it sure meant something to Peter. Unusual message. Unusual message. When Peter heard that rooster crow, he looked towards Jesus and Jesus was looking him eyeball to eyeball. And Peter left that scene and went out and found him a place where he could be by himself and wept bitterly, the Bible tells us. Greatest message Peter ever heard. Greatest message. Nobody else knew anything about it. The book of Daniel, chapter number 5. It tells about a man by the name of Belshazzar had taken over the kingdom. And he got a feast for for all the dignitaries, the folks in his group. And he had sent to get the gold and silver vessels they'd taken from the temple in Jerusalem. And they were drinking out of that. And all of a sudden, there was a hand, just a hand over here on the wall. That'll get your attention too. Nobody there, just a hand. Just a hand. Come over there on the plaster of the wall and started writing out a message. You'll find that in Daniel chapter number 5. Started writing out a message on there. And the king called in the wise men. They couldn't read it. He called in all the people in his kingdom. They couldn't read that. Somebody told him about Daniel. Said, "Daniel can read that for you. Go get him. Read that." And Daniel come and told the king. He says, "I tell you what, I'm going to read it for you." He said, "That's a message from God. That's a message from God that God's given you. He says one of the things, your kingdom is numbered. And finished it. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You're not going to see any growth. You're going to start going down. And then he says, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And he says the kingdom is going to be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. All of those were unusual messages for people of some kind. And God has that message. And the only one that I know of that still stands today is the rainbow. Now, there may be others that I didn't find or didn't look for that I can't think about. But the rainbow is the only one that I know of that we see on a regular basis. And we can count on those promises that God made just as much as we can count on the rainbow. And since I've learned about that scripture, I've never worried about it coming to flood like that anymore. I may have nightmares over something else, but not that. But the Lord. But there are some signs of the coming back of the Lord. But the season's not been recognizable. If you would just think. And say, but preacher, it's cold and it snowed the other day. I remember a few years ago that it snowed on the 4th of July in places other than Alaska. Maggie Taylor is one of the most honest people that I know of. And I know we were over in Russell County before Madge died, I believe, and we were sitting out there, and they had maple trees in the yard. We met there for a family reunion, and most of the time you'd carry your chair from one tree to the other to stay in the shade. Everybody was dragging their chairs out in the sun. It was that cold on the 4th of July. Me and the boys went down in the country to do some target shooting, got down there like the froze. I mean, you know, it wasn't that cold, but it was cold for the 4th of July. Maggie said she was up to see some of her family in Hopewell, Virginia, and it snowed on the 4th of July. All of these things, I don't know why that seasons are different, but when you think about it, I don't even keep up with it from one week to the other, so I couldn't tell you a whole lot about it as far as history from what I've seen in my lifetime. But God's made some promises that he's coming back. The earth is not going to be destroyed anymore by water. But the inhabitants of the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10, Peter says, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now realize that. I doubt that there's very few people that's sitting at home right now at 20 minutes till 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, March the 26th, that are looking for the Lord to come back before lunchtime today. Now, I'm honest about it. If the Lord comes back on Sunday between 10 and 12, I want him to find me in church. I want him to find me in the house of the Lord if he comes back while I'm still living on this earth. But he's coming back, and we can rest assured. But the Lord is coming as a thief in the night when people are not looking for him. That's when a thief comes, when you're not thinking he's coming. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, that's hot. Fervent itself means hot or boiling. That's what the word means. And he says, with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The next time it's going to be by fire. And the Lord has a plan for this. And God's plan has already been set in order, and it's going to be carried out like that. It's springtime. Now, spring started last Monday, I believe. Poured down snow. Poured it down where I was at Monday afternoon. But spring started. A few days, you'll say, boy, I'd like to have a good snowball. I'd like to hit somebody right in the nose. Cool off a little bit. These things come. But the Lord left a sign that we can look for. He talks about all these things that's coming in the last days, a falling away. That day will not come except there come a falling away first. Are we seeing that? Do we see that in the day that we're living in? Folks, it's hard to win somebody to the Lord that you know that they're going to die in a short order of time if something don't happen. I've witnessed them, and Brother Dennis and myself had a funeral yesterday, and Dennis Burnett is one of the nicest fellows that I know of. And he's an avid soul winner. He's a soul winner. And I was talking to Dennis about this a while back, and I said, Dennis, is it me if I backslid? You know, if I backslid and don't know it, is it me or what about this? He said, Walter, he says, if all the people had passed through our church, and he mentioned the fact, you know, and I said, Dennis, I can't get people saved in the hospital. And he said, Walter, he said, I witnessed to a man the other day, and he said, I don't know how many times that I witnessed to this man, and he said, I knew that he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die, and everybody else knew that unless God undertook in a special way, he was going to die, and he said, I never was able to win him to the Lord. It's sad in the last days. Jesus says, learn a parable of the fig tree, and that can apply to any tree. I don't know if there's a fig tree around here, but the peach trees will soon be blooming. Maybe have already bloomed. I don't know. Pear trees will soon be blooming. Other trees will soon be blooming. When you see them coming out, you know that summer is nigh. You know that it's just around the corner. You know that when they start blooming. The yellow bushes, whatever they're called, been blooming for several days. Some of the other bushes are blooming. Dandelions are already coming out. I took Paige the other day and picked one little dandelion to take to her mom, and I'm not sure did she get there with it. She held it in little fingers, carrying it to her mom. They've already, that's a sign that summer is here. He says, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, you know that the end is near, even at the door. And the Lord's coming back. God has spoken to us through His Word, His mercy, His love. He's called preachers to go out and preach. He's called missionaries to take the message to foreign countries and to folks who have never heard before. And that's all God's going to do, and that's all He's going to send. But He's coming back. Are you ready? God may not send an unusual message. Sometimes He does. And when He sends it, you need to listen to it. And you'll know if it's from God or not. You say, well, preacher, how will I know? Well, you'll just know. You'll just know that it's if it's from the Lord or not. Sometimes you have dreams, but that's calls from what you ate for supper. You know, that's not revelation from God. It may be saying, if you don't quit that, you're going to kill yourself. Die of the heart attack. But the Lord's message is out there. And if you're not ready to meet Him, you ought to get ready, and you ought to do it today. Don't let no more time pass till you give your heart to the Lord while you've got time. Unusual messages in the Bible. And God has done all these things because He loves us. God could have stayed in heaven by Himself with the angels, and if He wanted more angels, He could have created them. But God didn't want that. God wanted a family that He could have a relationship with, could fellowship with, that would love Him back. And that's the reason why that God's done all these things. And you need to listen to the Lord. If He speaks to you, you better listen to Him. Would you bow your head? Brother Homer, would you come and lead us in a verse of an invitation song? Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts in the time of this invitation. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of people who are here today, but You do. Lord, You know their heart, and every individual in this building knows their heart. They know what's going on in their mind. They know how they stand with You. And I pray that You just speak to them and help them to listen to You and do whatever You want them to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing together?
255.
Page number 255. A couple of these fellows, John and Luke and John, are up here to wait on you, to help you and pray with you and whatever that you need. Come if you will as we sing on the first verse. As Is your heart right with God? This song asks.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Count all things for things for Jesus but lost. Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, righteous and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Amen. Thank you, Homer. Appreciate you being here today. Hope that you can get back tonight for the services and pray much that the Lord will have his way. That personal invitation, which we call conviction, always pays a personal visit to every individual. When he speaks, you need to listen. If you don't, he may not speak no more. I don't know. That's the Lord. The Lord is very loving and patient and kind, but there's a limit to what God will do. So let's be sure you listen to the Lord. Give your heart to him while you've got that. Okay, let's bow our heads at this time as we have our closing prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on us as we leave. And I'm going to ask Brother Ted Blaylock if he would dismiss us, please.